Blog Talk Radio.
Rex, are you going to say something? Warning, warning. The Republic is becoming an oligarchy. Only you can stop it. Wake up. Pay attention. You are the resistance. Good evening. You are live on the Tex and Rex Show. I'm Rex, broadcasting to you from outside the Ninth Circle of Hell, otherwise known as I-495, the Capitol Beltway, outside of Washington, D.C. And my co-host is here with me.
Hey, this is Tex, broadcasting from Houston, Texas, in the Crystal Cathedral, high above Houston, looking out, watching the sunset, looking beautiful today. So, happy to be on the air talking with you guys, and Rex, what's on the agenda for today?
Well, as always, Tex and Rex is irreverent, relevant, and radioactive conservatism with a bite. We've been talking to you since we were on the air about a brokered convention. Well, we had one, and it was stolen by the rhinos and Mitt Romney, and so now the subject, as always, will be liberty. Many people feel that now that Romney is, quote, the nominee, illegitimate as he is, that if you are afraid of Obama, you have to vote for Romney. Let me tell you something. You're an American, you're a sovereign citizen, and you do not have to vote for Mitt Romney. The guy's going to lose anyway. So what you need to do is vote and send a message to Washington, D.C., that you only support constitutional candidates. You have several choices, and we're going to be talking about them. We're going to talk about Gary Johnson of the Libertarian Party. We're going to talk about Virgil Goode of the Constitution Party. We're going to talk about possibly writing in Ron Paul. These are the choices that you have. There are other choices, of course, if you feel compelled, but those are the three primary choices that we're going to be focusing on, and we're going to tell you about these candidates and why it's important. If you are confused, if you're looking for information, if you were a former Newt Gingrich supporter, Michelle Bachmann, Herman Cain, Ron Paul, whomever, we'd like to hear from you. Our call-in number is 646-649-1013. Again, 646-649-1013. Of course, if you were supporting those candidates and now you're a Mitt drone who is supporting Mitt Romney, we'd be happy to hear from you, too. In fact, we can help you extract your head from your ass. Please call in, 646-649-1013. Tex, we have a caller on the line who is a fellow
Excellent.
Patriot that has been a loud voice in the movement to find liberty candidates. Chris, you're live with Tex and Rex.
Hey, guys. How you doing tonight?
Feeling a little punchy, Chris. I'm hoping that we get some opposition to call in.
Doing great, Chris. Glad to have you dial in.
You bet. You guys are some of my favorite people.
Well, then there's definitely something wrong with you.
there probably is.
Well, you know, the thing about, you know, for those of you listening for the first time, Tex and Rex are featured guests frequently on the Sammy Sanford show. And then we have this show that we do every Friday and Saturday from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern time. There's never any format. There's never any specific agenda other than the fact that we're talking about how to right the political situation in this country, which is tilting so swiftly towards oligarchy, it can be frightening. But on this show, we want you to know that there is no need to be afraid, because the levers of civilized power are in your hands, and we're going to show you how to use them.
Yeah, Rex, one of the things we need to do, one of the main things we need to do, is let the Rhino RNC establishment know that you can't dismiss the conservative vote within the Republican Party the way that the Democratic Party dismisses the black vote within their party. We're not loyal because we like elephants, pachyderms, or Mitt Romney. The reason we support the party is because we support certain principles, not that we support certain individuals. And to the extent that this party has decided to deviate from those principles, they no longer will have our support. Now, there's always going to be a vast reservoir of drones out there, mind-numb drones who watch TV, who just see elephants, and they're like, oh, now I have an elephant, so everything's going to change. Well, it doesn't work that way with the vast majority of us, and it shouldn't work that way with all of us, because replacing Obama the man with Romney the man does not replace the policies, because the Obama policies and the Romney policies are the same. And Romney won't even enunciate what his policies are because he's afraid he would be criticized. Once again, my friends, we're being asked to vote for a pig in a poke, a guy who won't tell you what he stands for, won't tell you what he believes, which you can look at what he did as governor of Massachusetts, where he didn't lower taxes, and he passed Romneycare, which is Obamacare. And so I would say there is a very good reason to be concerned about this nominee, and he's not even a nominee because of the convention. We didn't have a convention. They canceled the convention, and they had a bunch of pro-Romney people stand in for the actual state delegations to push Romney over the top. So Romney has a legitimacy problem. And as Henry Kissinger will tell you, if you have a problem of legitimacy, you have a major problem. Mitt Romney is a pretender to the throne. He's a pretender to be the nominee. He's not the nominee because the actual delegates were never allowed to select the nominee. So you have a Republican Party that is running around headless right now, and Mitt Romney is causing a severe disaster in the Republican Party. But we're going to pick up the pieces. We're going to bring it together. We're going to find who the rhinos are all the way down to the local level. We're going to start getting rid of these people and start removing them with actual constitutional conservatives who believe in the Constitution. And we're going to start rebuilding this thing from the ground up, because Mitt Romney already set up. This guy is going to lose in November and lose badly. And there's no sense of you compromising what you actually believe to vote for somebody who doesn't believe what you believe, and if anything is dismissive of what you believe and thinks that you're a problem, and start voting for people who do believe what you believe, because when the party wakes up on November 7th and realizes what a massive mistake they made and how they lost, they're going to start going after your vote.
Yep, Tex, I think that's definitely a cogent analysis. Now, maybe we do a little history of how we got here, okay? And I'm not talking about the long-term history, just the past couple of weeks. The convention was supposed to convene on August 27th, right? And they delayed it for the safety and concern of the delegates because of the terrible, terrible hurricane that was closing in on Tampa. You remember that, Chris?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I can tell you.
You guys were up there in Priebus's condo, weren't you?
Yeah, we were hanging out on Priebus's veranda. We were watching the waves. We were smoking cigars outside. Every once in a while, it's kind of hot down in Florida. You get a nice cooling mist from Isaac. So there never was any danger of this hurricane. They delayed it because when they got there, they realized they don't have the votes. And they delayed so that they could pull all sorts of tricks. And if this is the first time you're hearing about these, and it seems kind of shocking, I want you to pay careful attention, because we were there and we got eyewitness accounts. They changed the rules so that the delegates were credentialed on their buses, and for the delegations that they thought were a threat that may not be all voting for Romney, they went ahead and lost those buses, so those delegates could never make it to the convention. They used all sorts of tricks to displace people, to slow them down using TSA, to hold them up in their own state, make it difficult for the delegates to get there. And ultimately what they did was they crammed that convention center with their people who were going to vote for Mitt as delegates, so that on TV you would see a bunch of hot air speeches about so-called conservative values and a bunch of delegates waving their little Mitt Romney signs, and then they would all vote permit. It's not real. It didn't happen. The delegates that the state parties and the people delegated to go to the convention to actually pick the best man to defeat the current incumbent never happened. Therefore, Mitt Romney is an illegitimate candidate. And you have to ask yourself this very question, because what I've been getting from some people is Barack Obama is so terrible. He has to go. He's a Marxist, he's a Muslim, all sorts of crazy stuff. Let me tell you, Barack Obama's not a scary guy. Barack Obama's kind of irrelevant. I'll get to that in a minute, but what I want you to know is, yeah, I think it's a great idea to get rid of Barack Obama. I think we need a better president. But Mitt Romney's not a better guy. He's not a better president. And just to be clear, unless he cheats, which is possible, although he's playing against another cheater, Mitt Romney won't win this race. And we've told you this for months, which is why we're trying to get you to look at Ron Paul and Newt Gingrich, because both of them could easily beat Obama. The only person who can't beat Obama is Mitt Romney. So resign yourself to the fact that the Republicans have already cost the election. Yeah,
I heard something on TV the other day. I keep hearing this out of this guy. His name's Dick Morris. I don't know. I think he used to be a political analyst or something. Now he's just a douchebag. And he was saying that Barack Obama has always wanted to run against Ron Paul and Newt Gingrich because they're so polarizing. That was Obama's sincerest wish, and now he's just shaking in his boots because he's running against Mitt Romney. I think Dick Morris gets paid for this analysis, right? That is the most shit analysis I've ever seen of the political situation ever. That, I mean, Dick, if you're listening, I used to subscribe to your newsletter. I had to stop subscribing because it was making me stupider. And what you just said is the stupidest thing I've ever heard in this election. You're running Romney, Mr. Milquetoast, who's not running on any ideas at all, not saying anything as to what he believes. What's his tax policy? Don't even know. He's got a 59-point plan, right? Okay, Mr. 59-point plan. What's point number four? Do you even know on your 59-point plan? No, you don't.
I don't have it in front of me right now. I'm not a detail person. I'm kind of a big picture guy. Let me check with my people and get back to you.
That big lawyer, my picture Romney, smiling at himself. He's like, look at me. I'm awesome.
I like trees. I like Costco. I'm like you. Yeah. I haven't heard that particular assertion come out of Dick Morris's mouth, but what a bunch of bullshit. Are you kidding me? I mean, Newt Gingrich would have eaten Obama alive. There's no way in hell that Obama was even for 1 minute looking forward to having a debate with Newt Gingrich, especially after Newt threw down the gauntlet and said, you know, we're going to have 7 3-hour Lincoln-Douglas debates. I mean, Obama shit himself when he heard that, and he wasn't going to go for it, and so Dick Morris is full of crap. Same with Ron Paul. I mean, Ron Paul knows so much more than Barack Obama. I mean, maybe he's not as smooth and slick as Barack Obama, but he would have certainly defeated him. So, you know, that's the kind of crap that people are hearing, and I got to tell you, if you or your friends or anybody out there is still watching the government propaganda machine that spews Fox News and MSLSD and all this other garbage at you, you're being brainwashed. Do your own digging. Don't believe what they tell you. They lie very easily, and they are shills for their customer. You know, I mean, understand something. We all know, right, the old cliche, Chris, you know, the customer's always right. You know, as a businessman, you obviously subscribe to that. And mm-hmm. So the idea is if the customer is always right, then the question you have to ask yourself on TV is, who is the customer? Well, people think that, you know, I'm the one picking the channels. They're looking for ratings, so I'm the customer. You're not the customer. You're the audience. The customer are the corporations that either own the company or that pay the advertising revenue. That's who the customer is. That's who they take care of. You're simply the sucker.
You ever give them any money? If you didn't give them any money, you're not a customer. So, you know, maybe
Amen.
You paid the people who are giving you the throughput, but you didn't pay the people who own the channel.
That's right. So that being the case, the television is pretty much telling us that, you know, it's Romney and Obama, and it's almost a dead heat, one point this way, one point that way. Obama's got a slight edge. Now his edge is growing, and it looks like Obama's building momentum. All this is a lie. The fact is that other than for some total of two weeks, ever since Mitt Romney became the presumptive nominee, he's been losing to Barack Obama. So what the Republicans at the convention did was they effectively stole the nomination to a guy who is already losing to the guy whom you fear so much. Now, this might make you freak out. It might scare you a little bit. You think
the guy
who
lost to the guy who lost to Obama.
Yeah, I mean, just that alone is just the sheer logic of that. You know, McCain got defeated by Obama in such a terrible way, and so you think that the guy that McCain beat is certainly going to beat Obama. It's preposterous logic. But so that being the case, then, you know, people are thinking, well, so this is terrible. It's all over. We got no chance. That's not true. That's absolutely not true. The idea of third parties being a wasted vote is irrelevant at this point. I mean, I don't subscribe to the theory in the first place, but let's just assume in a normal circumstances, throwing away voting third party is throwing away your vote. It's not this year, because your vote, unless you happen to be a supporter of Obama and voting for Obama, doesn't count for anything. Because
right. There
aren't going to be enough votes for Romney. It's just not going to happen. So resign yourself to the fact that Romney's not going to win. Don't waste your vote on Romney. Vote a message publicly to the media, to Washington, D.C., to the parties, and let them know that you want a conservative candidate. You want a candidate who actually believes in his oath to uphold the Constitution and defend it from enemies, foreign and domestic. Now, we have several of those, right?
Yep.
I mean, obviously, you know, you got the Libertarian Party, right?
The only way to vote is the one that you, when you vote against your own conscience. And if you're voting for a guy who doesn't believe what you believe, and nobody, I think, in the Republican Party thinks that Mitt Romney believes what they believe, because Mitt Romney believes everything depending upon the audience he's speaking in front of. You know this to be a fact. I'm not the jerk saying it. You know it's true. That's why Mitt Romney wasn't your first choice, or even your second choice, or even your third choice, or your last choice. He was like the choice between you shooting yourself, right? That was your choice. You know, this guy, if you're voting for him, you're lying to yourself. You're cheating yourself, because what you're telling the party is that when push comes to shove, you'll vote for this kind of stupid rhino in the future, because the party can tell you what to do and you'll just acquiesce. And know what you're doing? You're allowing them to do it to you again in 2016. And you know what? I'm not going to do that. I'm not doing that. This party leadership is so rudderless and has no principles and is so far removed from where you and I are as Republican voters, and they have such contempt for us. I mean, let's just be honest. They have nothing but utter contempt for us. They think we're controversial, and we're trying to fight all these issues that the media will attack us on. Let the media attack us. We're right. It's a battle we can win. But the John Boehners, you know, the smoked beef jerky John Boehners, they don't want to have these fights, right? Because they don't want to have a battle of ideas. They want to have a go-along-to-get-along Washington where they can go to the golf games and spend all the money and print more and who cares and nothing bad is ever going to happen. They're never going to fight for you, and they certainly are never going to fight for you if you don't start fighting for yourself. And if you start voting for their guy, they're going to say, yeah, these conservatives, that's how they are. They say they believe this crap, but they really don't.
Yeah. You know, I get these moments of clarity sometimes, because usually I'm in kind of a partial, you know, subsonic rage, you know, through this whole process. And every once in a while I get very calm and I step back. And I think it's in between, you know, accomplishing a bunch of things and stuff like, you know, we've been doing today and talking to people and setting things up and setting up all these guest speakers and, you know, and finally nailing down, you know, Virgil Good for a show you know, just coming off of everything that we've come off of, because it's been pretty dynamic since the pain of the convention, which I think in anybody's mind or heart, we knew they were that they would not allow anybody but Romney to walk out of there as a winner. We kind of all knew that going in there. We were just kind of hoping that somehow the world would get sane and start a riot and the people would take over again. But I guess there weren't enough of the real people in the party, because they kept them on buses and running around in circles instead of actually allowing them in the doors of the convention. So,
I'll tell you something, Chris. I was on a bus in Beijing, China, right? This bus was stuck on the fifth ring of Beijing. Beijing's got a million rings. That's how big the city is, right? And we're stuck, gridlock traffic. And I was with a group of people, and I said, well, you know, how long do you think we get off the bus? And so people started passing the hat around. And I said, 15 minutes, right? And they're like, we're not getting off this bus in 15 minutes. I said, no, I'm getting off the bus in 15 minutes, right? And so they're like, well, you're an idiot. You lost, right? 15 minutes came. I was like, hey, I need to go to the restroom. So they opened the door, and I got off the freaking bus. And a friend of mine came with me, and we hailed a taxi, and we got back to the hotel way before they ever did because they were stuck on the bus. You know, these guys are delegates and everything. That's one thing I don't understand. People are too passive. Why'd you stay on the bus? Get off the bus.
You were credentialed on the bus. You were credentialed on the bus.
Go up to the driver. Yeah, your credentials are on the bus. Well, once you get on the bus, you got your credentials. So you know what you do? You go up to the bus driver. You're like, hey, I got to get off this bus. He's like, no, I can't let you off the bus. He's like, no, I got diarrhea. I have to get off the bus, right? The guy's like, no, I'm not going to do it. And then you pee on him. And then he opens the door. And then you leave the bus. That's how you do it. You know? All these people are too passive. Just...
Is this what the man going to do?
Not open the door? What if you just turn around and you kick the door open? What's going to happen then? You're just going
to
leave.
Did the TSA train people to be sheep? Do you think that's what that process was for?
Oh, without question. It's designed to fear you and cower you into doing exactly what you're told. Chris, we got a caller, but I think you were trying to make a point before it's canceled.
Bus pee story,
which was very poignant. Dan, you should have given that advice to the delegates before the convention.
Pee on the TSA bus driver.
But why don't you go ahead?
Go ahead,
finish your point, and then I'll bring in the caller.
Well, you know, I think that the thing that I'm finding in my ignorance, in my first major involvement in a primary to this level ever, that, you know, back to the whole issue of the TSA and people being programmed into accepting this stuff, that I'm finding a whole new level of people out there that are liberty-minded, constitutional people that are just awesome, and they've been fighting some pretty good fights for a lot of years. And I believe that this election, this primary, this crime wave is going to wake up some of these third parties, or at least it's going to wake up people and bring them to environments where there's already been people who were woke up a long time before we were, who already made a decision, whether it was Bush era or whatever, that they threw up their hands and said, I'm out of here and I'm going to go find someplace else to play. And it's been an amazing journey, and we're still on this journey, but I'm pretty fired up because it's an option. Because the only other option we had for us ignorant ones that didn't understand third parties was no vote. I'm not going to vote. I'm going to set it out. And that's exactly what Obama and Romney want, because I believe they've already calculated in 30-35% of their people hate their guts but won't vote for the other guy on both sides, so it cancels it out. But if you could take that 30-35% of both sides and feed them into a third party and actually register a vote, win or no win, you've changed the dialogue in this country forever.
Well, see, if you stay at home, they're like, this is exactly what we wanted, because look at how many Americans that dropped out of the political process. See, we own this thing now. But if you show up and you go vote for someone else, like, holy crap, people are coming out and voting, and they're not voting for the, quote, two major political parties. They're voting for someone else. Now you got an earthquake. You have a political earthquake in the United States going on in America. And if you really think that this country is off the rails, there is no choice between the Obama-Romney ticket, right? There is only a choice for liberty and the Constitution. Go out and vote for someone else. Now, I don't know if that's going to be Virgil Good for you or Gary Johnson or writing in Ron Paul or any of the other, you know, political parties that we've talked about, the America's Party, whatever it is. You know, you've got to make that choice. But the thing is, increase the amount of the vote that the third parties get so that, guess what? The third party vote becomes like, holy crap, that's almost the second party, right? And then the two main political parties, they will start jumping all over themselves to get your vote, to get you back on board. And the rhinos will all have to go away because they'll have their defeat in their face, and they will have seen that they basically betrayed the Republican Party voter, and they'll do anything to get you back.
Yep, that's a very good point, Tex. The fact is that for any of you who think that you can squeak out a Romney victory, it's not going to happen. The only thing you can do by throwing away your vote and your voice and voting for this guy who doesn't stand for anything in which you believe, in fact, he stands directly opposite of the things in which you believe, is you're basically giving him credibility, and you're giving the rhinos credibility. So since you're not going to defeat Obama with Romney anyway, vote for somebody who actually expresses your principles, stands for your values, and let these guys know that the referendum on Romney is zero. He's not supported, he's not liked, he's not conservative, and he shouldn't be in the Republican Party. I got a
Rex,
caller from...
Before you bring it in, let me add this. I'm going to forget it, but we need a log your vote campaign. Make your vote heard. Go ahead.
Absolutely.
Sorry, I'm
Absolutely.
Done.
Good idea. Caller from area code 717, you are live on the Tex and Rex Show. Who are you, and what's on your mind?
Hey, this is Jim Foxworthy. How's it going, everybody?
Hey,
how's it going, Jim?
How you been?
Awesome. Man, that is so refreshing to hear you guys still have your guns out blowing the smoke out of the freaking barrel. That's awesome. Because I've been hearing Twitter talk about other people like, well, we should get Romney in there so that he's easier to impeach and all this other stuff, you know. And I say, you know, there isn't enough people on blog radio to make that difference, even if we do to say, okay, we'll go and vote for Romney. Everybody else that doesn't know any the real facts of the political life isn't going to be hearing that anyways, and there's still going to be no voting and, you know, and squirming and everything else. So it's good to hear you guys are still sticking to your guns, man, because I believe that's the truth. You know what I mean?
Well, we appreciate that, Jeff.
I was talking to Rex about this earlier, but, you know, I went to go talk to a lady I have a business relationship with, and, you know, she was like, hey, you said there's going to be a brokered convention. I mean, there's not a brokered convention. She's like, I consider myself an informed person, but I never heard anything about it. And so I explained about the buses and all that, and she said, well, I'll be honest, that sounds really far-fetched. She's like, far-fetched? What are you talking about? That's what actually happened. And so, you know, I sat there in her office, and we pulled up video after video. You know, we pulled up that reality check, right? We pulled up that Ron Paul video where they showed it's like 11 minutes, 19 seconds, I think, where they're talking about exactly what happened and all this kind of stuff. And she was like, oh, my God, why didn't I ever hear this on the mainstream media? I'm like, why are you still watching the mainstream media?
Right.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. The mainstream media is nothing more than a corporate propaganda machine. Jeff, I just want to point out a couple of things. One, Tex and Rex are always fully loaded, and we don't sheath our weapons. So our voice is going to stay strong all the way until liberty is viable back across this entire land. The other thing is, you know, that you mentioned, you know, there's not enough people on Blog Talk Radio. Well, that's absolutely true. Okay, I mean, we've got a growing audience. Sammy Sanford has a huge audience. We're on his show frequently. Bart's Logic Political Talk is getting a bigger audience. But the power of Blog Talk Radio is that once it's out on the air, it doesn't disappear because it's always downloadable on the Internet. So I just want to let everybody know you can always go on Blog Talk Radio, search out the Tex and Rex Show, find our homepage, and you can listen to every single episode that we've ever aired. You can download the MP3, you can burn it on CD, you can email it to your friends, you can share the information with people, and it is your job, if you're listening, to tell everybody what's going on, to inform them and wake them up and make sure that they don't throw away their vote by voting for Mitt Romney, who is a liberal Democrat posing as a Republican. It's the worst possible thing that you can do. And the fact is that we can make a huge earthquake, and I believe we can actually win the White House. Oh, Rex is crazy. How is that even possible? Well, you know what? Most people back in 1860 thought that the third-party candidate, some, you know, country lawyer from Illinois running on this new party wouldn't win. And if I'm not mistaken, in 1860, the country elected Abraham Lincoln as the first Republican president of these United States. Now, as a Virginian, I can't say that that's necessarily the best thing because he subsequently went on to invade my state afterwards. But he did win.
Yeah, Rex, right. I just want to say, though, you know, I mean, seriously, that was 1860, and history never repeats itself. So that would only ever happen one time in all of human history. So they could never happen again.
No. I mean, that's crazy.
Oh, yeah. I got it.
You know, how could that possibly happen?
For Romney.
Yeah, I mean, you might as well go vote for Romney. I mean, it's like, you know, what are your principles and values? What does the Constitution matter? What does the fact that he stole the nomination matter? I mean, look, let's just isolate it to one point, okay? Let's isolate it to one point. If somebody comes in your house, guns blazing, ties you up, puts you in a corner, proceeds to steal all your stuff, and then unties you and says, hey, listen, I'm running for sheriff, and I'd really like your vote. I'd really like your vote for sheriff. Are you going to vote for that guy? I mean, that's insane, right? The guy just robbed you, so you're going to make him the chief law enforcement officer in town. Well, that's what you're doing by voting for Mitt Romney. The guy lied, he stole, he cheated, he rigged the whole thing, and now you're going to say, oh, well, okay, I guess because you rigged it so well, we're going to vote for
you. I think he'd be a better commander-in-chief, though. With all that lying, cheating, stealing, probably be a better commander-in-chief. Guy.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You're going to vote for the guy who robbed from you, stole from you, from your own party, from your own delegates. I mean, you guys, you live in a state somewhere. Excuse me, a lot of people live in a state of confusion, but some of you live in states out there, and you guys had state conventions, and you picked delegates, right? Mitt Romney was like, oh, yeah, but I don't like your delegates, and so I don't like your state, so I don't care who you pick because I'm going to pick someone, right? How much respect for states' rights is this guy going to have when he gets in there? Or respect for the 10th Amendment or any amendment or anything under the Constitution? Do you think that guy's even read the Republican Party platform? He's like, I paid over $100 million to be the nominee. I don't care what the platform says. I am the party. I just crowned myself at your stupid convention. Screw this party. Screw you guys. I'm Mitt Romney. I endorse this message.
Yeah, I endorse this message. Jeff, I muted your mic. I was getting a little background noise on it, so I'll let you in periodically, see if you've got something to say. But right now, I'm just going to riff a little bit on what Tex just said. The amazing thing is, and this is very important, because what's driving most people right now is nothing but fear. Okay,
yeah.
You've got this incredible fear of what Obama will do if given four more years, where he doesn't have to worry about reelection. I got to clue in on a couple of things. Number one, in the first 4 years, Obama wasn't worried about reelection. Number two, Obama is a community organizer. He is a guy who reads speeches off teleprompters. He's not all that scary, okay? What's scary is the people he surrounded himself with, who are Marxists, communists, socialists, Wall Street corporatists, transnational bankers, and other enemies of these United States. So the real fear is who Obama has surrounded himself with. And you're under the impression that that is so frightening that if you get rid of Obama, those people go away. Let me clue you in on a little something. Those people might go away, but for every one of those people, there's another one who believes exactly the same things, and those are the people that Mitt Romney's going to surround himself with.
Who do you think
Rex.
Who's funding Mitt Romney's campaign? Wall Street. Who put
That's
Obama
right.
in charge? Wall Street. Same dudes. So, yeah, yep. Obama's not there anymore, but the same, you know, pretenders behind the throne are there.
That's exactly it. So your fear of getting rid of them by moving towards Romney because he's the, quote, most viable opposition to Obama is just taking your right shoe off and putting it on your left foot, and it's still got a hole in the bottom of it, and it's still getting wet, and you've still got a blister. It doesn't change anything, okay? So the fact is that your fear, although somewhat founded at what you're actually afraid of, cannot be belayed by putting the same people back in power with just a different guy as the quarterback. It won't change. You really have to understand that. And the only way it's going to change is if you create a national referendum and tell these people, not anymore, not on my watch, not this time. I'm drawing a line. I'm telling you no. And the only way you tell these guys no is to vote another way. Hopefully, we can all vote the same other way and get a victory. But even if not, if you just simply vote for somebody else who has principles, you're going to send a message that's loud and clear that this is the United States of America, that the Constitution is still the supreme law of the land, and that transnational bankers and communists and socialists don't have a place in our government. Now, 50 days from now, or whenever the election is, it's not going to change everything all at once. It's the first step in rolling it back and moving in the right direction. So your work is not going to end. You're going to have to keep waking people up. You're going to have to keep making noise. You're going to have to keep screaming for liberty. You're going to have to keep building alliances with other people who are liberty-minded, patriotic Americans. It's not going to end. But the fact is, when our founding fathers handed us this republic, they told us that this is such a unique thing in human history. It's such a unique experience. They even called it an experiment. Well, it's an ongoing experiment so long as you're willing to stand up and fight for it. Because if you sit back and merely enjoy it, your children won't have it. And that's where we are today. So the very simple fact is that don't let fear drive you, because you're a winner. You're a free person. You're a sovereign citizen. You're an American. 7 billion people on this planet alive right now, 315 million of us are Americans. That's a very unique privilege and one that you cannot take for granted. So be American, don't give in to fear, and stand up for what you believe in, because we can win. Jeff, I brought your microphone live if you want to chime in on any of that. Okay.
Oh, sorry.
You there, Jeff?
I muted my own mic on here.
Oh, okay. Well, I brought it live.
I can game and all that. That's all I have to really say about it. I'm just 100% agreement with Ed. You know, we've got to keep fighting, and we got to keep working on the state level. That's been the most important thing anyways, really, because we're sovereign citizens of Pennsylvania here, you know. I am a citizen of Pennsylvania and the United States.
That's right. So that's an important point.
We need to get conservative-minded people in Congress that will have some guts and get Thayer out of there. You know, he's totally spineless and is a puppet. And get him out of there, you know, and have him press towards getting Romney arrested. Somebody in there that'll have some balls to do that, you know. That's Romney's a criminal. He is a criminal. Simple as that, you know. And he needs to go through this established justice system and through a grand jury and go to trial and be found guilty of his crimes and pay his penalty, you know.
Yep.
That could happen actually before the election. So, you know, what do you do if that does happen? You know, you guys are on the right track. We're on the right track. We're looking for a third party. You know, an idea. You know, that should that happen, man, we need to be prepared. You know, not saying, oh, we should just go for Romney anyways. You know, because you know he can beat Obama. You know. Because what if he is found guilty? What if he's arrested, you know? He's indicted and he's got to step down. So somebody else is going to be in there. So.
Yep, that's a great point, Jeff. And actually, you know, I think I have heard what you mentioned, which is some people are saying, well, you know, we should get Romney in there because he'll be easier to impeach. I mean, just think about what you're saying when you say that. I've heard this before. I don't know, Chris, Tex, have you heard people say stuff like that?
Not that one particular one, no, but I'm interested in what you got to say.
Okay, well, I'm hearing some people saying, you know, well, you know, Romney wasn't my first choice, not my second choice, not my third choice, but he's the guy we got now, and Obama is just so terrible, I'm so afraid of him. If we get Romney in there, then we can at least impeach him. You know, ostensibly that makes Paul Ryan the president, okay? But people have been saying that, but here's my question. You're seriously going to vote for somebody that you intend to bring up on criminal charges after you give him the reins of power? I mean, that's insane. That's absolutely crazy. And what Jeff just said, which is that the guy could be actually indicted and arrested beforehand, you're going to vote for a nominee who's potentially going to be up on charges before he even sits in the White House? I mean, that's outrageous. That's just crazy. You can't even think in those terms. You know, the very simple fact is that Romney is a criminal. Romney isn't going to change anything that Obama's done. And Romney can't win. So you're throwing your vote away by voting for Romney, and don't think about going third party. You don't have to go third party.
You're
throwing
your
vote
away by voting against your own conscience. Vote for somebody who believes what you believe. That's a vote. Voting for someone because somebody told you this guy's going to win doesn't make you a winner. It makes you a loser because they don't support what you support.
Yeah.
You know, I have an
Go ahead. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, I have an interesting input on this thing, because one of the arguments that we've heard for people trying to save the party from a mass exodus has been this whole thing that what Jeff just said, that we, you know, we need to work at our state levels and get our, you know, get good people in. Here's what's really interesting, and I kind of finally learned this today, because in our research on the third parties and our conversation with the good people,
the good people.
Yeah, the good people. God, could you run that marketing forever? Anyway, is that the Constitution Party, they've got 8 senators going up. They've got, I don't have all the numbers yet, so nobody quote me because he's putting the list together for me, but they've got like 27 House members that are up on their party ticket. They have at local state, you know, your legislation, you know, sheriffs, county auditors, attorney generals, mayors of cities. This party is not just some float party that's got some figurehead, you know, Virgil Good at the top, just trying to act like they want to be a party. This is a real party that has real substance across the country, and they actually have good people. God, they actually have good people that you can look at to vote for. So it isn't, you know, if you look at your state and you're trying to find that decent person, to, you know, that decent Republican to cast your vote behind, and they ain't there, and they're another psycho rhino or some of these liars, because we don't know who to trust anymore. Most of us who were part of the Tea Party wave are very disappointed at people we thought were Tea Party constitutional conservatives who turned out to be bought and paid for by Romney. So if you want to change that option, if that's another reason to at least do the investigation on these other parties, whether it's the Libertarian Party, the Constitution Party, find out who they are, how they work at the state level. You know, we're talking about all these programs and shows that we want to put together, and Floyd is talking about he wants to bring 5 or 6 sheriffs that they're backing onto a show and have a conversation about, you know, local politics and the power in the county sheriff and how important that is to, you know, getting back our state sovereignty and what kind of people you need to be looking for. I just don't think people know anymore. They just hope I really believe people went, oh, the Tea Party won, now I can go back to watching American Idol and my reality TV game show and whatever they
That's
do with
exactly
their lives. I don't know what they
That's
do with
exactly
their lives. They gave up. You know, they gave up, and now they're in shock and fear, and now they're looking at Obama and Romney going, well, if I can get Romney in there, we get Obama out, and then we can fix it. No, that's exactly the game they played, hoping that's how you would think, and it don't matter. I mean, people don't, you know, they don't get, either they get it or they don't, but I'm pretty fired up that we get it, and we're doing the investigation, and we're getting the information out there, and we're going to do shows, and we're going to educate the population. 45% to 58% of the people in this country at any given time, I've looked at the polls. There are certain third-party polls that have been done. 48% to 58% of the people, depending on the era, are in favor of a third party. 48% to 58%, depending on the era. Now, they say when it comes to voting time, everybody freaks out and typically votes the two parties. Well, I can tell you why that is. Because they don't go past the idea of, yeah, I would support one, and actually get answers like we are now getting out to people. Because it may not, you know, we may not change the world this election. I would like to, you know, but we may not.
Because
but we will change the world with education.
It's because they have a herd mentality. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, well, I'll only do it if the media tells me it's okay to do it, right? I'll only do it if my neighbor's doing it. Well, maybe your neighbor doesn't have the same politics as you. Maybe your neighbor's interests are completely different. Maybe your neighbor's a freaking socialist communist or something, you know? Who cares what your neighbor's doing? Do what you got to do. Support what you support. And you know what? Then your neighbor's like, oh, my God, that guy's up there voting for liberty and the Constitution. Make them concerned. Don't acquiesce.
Yeah. Well, that makes you a radical extremist if you vote for the Constitution. I mean, you're not supposed to vote for the Constitution. That's crazy. Who voted for the Constitution? I mean, those radical extremists like Washington and Madison and Jefferson and Adams, those guys voted for the Constitution. Those guys are crazy extremists. What you're supposed to do is grab your bag of Cheetos, sit down in front of the Fox News, and do whatever Sean Hannity and Bill O'Reilly tell you to do while you're shoving the Cheetos in your mouth and you accept they're boring, bland, insipid, exactly like Obama with a different hairstyle candidate. That's what you're supposed to do. That's the popular thing to do. And then your neighbors are likely to say, wow, that's great. You voted Republican. I'm so proud of you. You can come to our tea party. You can come to our club. We can play golf together. But if you do something crazy and radical, like, oh, I don't know, put a Ron Paul sticker on your car, or Virgil Goode, or Gary Johnson, talk about the Constitution, what it actually says, and expect elected officials who take an oath before God to uphold and defend the supreme law of the land against enemies, foreign and domestic, you're kind of a weirdo, right? Well, the truth of the matter is, no, because most of us believe in that. Most of us feel that. We're just afraid to say it. Go ahead.
Exactly. Wasn't it Thomas Jefferson that said that, you know, it is our highest hope that for the American citizen, politics is a completely passive activity that they do once every 4 years and then they stop paying attention because then the oligarchs will be able to rule them more easily? Oh, wait, he didn't say that. That was George Soros, I think. Some crap where you show up, oh, I voted. I didn't really pay attention, but I don't know. I saw an elephant, so, you know, saw a pink elephant, so I voted for that one, and now I'm going back home. That's not – you can't run a republic that way. You have to be engaged. And you know what? You may have to have uncomfortable conversations with your neighbors because it turns out maybe your neighbor's a jerk and you didn't know that because he's like a big socialist. You're like, oh, all these socialists out there, I just don't understand. And then it turns out the guy you've been talking to the whole time – you know, because you haven't been talking to politics, is one of these dudes. You know,
I don't know.
Uncomfortable conversation.
Tex, I don't know. Let me play devil's advocate to what you just said. Excuse me. I tend to cough when I'm about to say something I don't believe. Do you truly think and do you truly believe that people are required to all be always politically active? Are you saying that there is no way that someone can be an American citizen and kind of view it as a spectator sport? It's definitely a full contact sport. Is that what you're asserting?
In a republic, everything in your life has to be about the body politic because everything in your life can be, at a moment's notice, controlled by the government if you don't pay attention. So, yeah, you got to pay attention. And you have to be politically active.
There's no opting out? There's no, like, I don't want to play this game.
Well, yeah, I mean, you could go find a tyranny in the world somewhere, and then you don't have to pay attention. They'll just tell you what to think. That's when I lived in Washington, D.C. I used to drive by the NPR building all the time. And whenever I felt confused, I would pull over the car, I would park, I'd walk into the NPR lobby, and then they would just tell me what to think, and I felt so much better. I'd just get back in my car. I was like, that's what I think.
And by NPR, you're referring to National Public Radio, which is funded by the government and full of liberal government propaganda?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, you know, I think a lot of people do think that NPR is more objective than the other media. And, you know, some people think that if they listen to NPR, that they're doing something better than listening to Fox News or MSLSD. And they're wrong.
Government funding makes it objective, right?
Yeah.
The government
exactly.
Always wants people to think for themselves. That's what the government's trying to do, make you think for yourself.
Well, but doesn't the government also
totally
find
not
like
true.
Doesn't the government also fund, like, Sesame Street? I mean, Bert and Ernie are certainly not socialists, are they?
Well, didn't you see that whole episode where Bert went to Russia and was talking about how great Stalin was? That was a special, anyway.
It was a special. Sesame Street goes to Pravda. But, yeah, I mean, look, the fact is that some people are now going to think, okay, well, I agree with these guys about the Constitution, and I agree that, you know, Romney's really not conservative, but does it really make sense to vote for a second party? Now, when I say vote for a second party, the reason I say that is because Romney and Obama are running in opposition to each other in the same party. What? That's crazy. Yes. Let me tell you something. This is exactly how it is done. What you do is you put your people in two parties that you make the dominant parties, and you give people the false sense of choice every couple of years so that, you know, you can sympathize with the left and you can stand up and say, hey, we won when we got hope and change. And then you can rise up with the Tea Party if you sympathize to the right and say, hey, we won when we gave John Boehner the speakership. But the fact is that nothing changes. because they all work for the same party. Now, not all of them. There are some good guys in there, but the overwhelming majority is that these parties are running the same ideological makeup, which is power at the top and control over everything else for your benefit, of course. And so it's a single party. Now, the Republicans have had moments of opposition, such as Barry Goldwater, who didn't win, and Ronald Reagan, who did win, and Newt Gingrich in 1994. But other than those brief moments, for the most part, the Republicans have basically been Democrats of a different rhetoric. And so the true second party, a true choice, a true opposition, lies somewhere else. And so what you need to do is build that road. And we always go back to 92, right, when Ross Perot was that third voice. What did he get, 18.9% of the vote? Am I right?
Yeah, basically,
number?
19% of the vote, essentially.
Okay,
you
that's pretty huge.
Column, but.
Yeah, now that's huge for a guy who didn't have a party. In other words, there were no Ross Perot senators, Ross Perot congressmen, Ross Perot state houses. It was just Ross Perot. Where when you look at somebody like Gary Johnson of the Libertarian Party, which has been around for, what, like 40 years, and the Constitution Party, which has been around since 1992, they actually have other candidates who are like-minded, who are truly adhering to the party platform, so you know where they stand, and they're out there. They have other candidates. So why can't they get more than 19% of the vote? I'll tell you why, because every 4 years you realize, well, we can't let this guy win, so I'm going to vote for the other guy. And then what happens? Nothing changes. So why don't you make a difference this year, since your vote for Romney is a lost vote anyway? Do something real with it. Does that make sense, guys?
Absolutely. I mean, look, this nonsense, I even had someone write to me and say, well, you young guns, you got to listen to the old dogs of the party, and you just got to support Romney this time, and we'll get it fixed. Oh, you old dogs, are you the jackasses that put the rhinos in charge of this party? That just sold us all out and that just stole the nomination. So you old dogs, you suck. You're the problem, and you think you're the solution. No, no, just pile in and vote for Romney, and it'll all be okay. No, it won't be okay, because then nobody takes it serious. Because they're like, at the end of the day, you can steal this thing from these conservatives, and they'll just fall in line. So screw them. You know, that's what's going on. And if you don't start standing up and voting for people who actually believe what you believe and finding out who these other third parties are and going to vote for them, not because necessarily some of you are loyal GOP and you never want to leave the Republican Party. I understand that, right? But the thing is, you've got to wake the Republican Party up. And so you got to start, you know, kissing other girls around town to get your boyfriend to start paying attention to you again, right? Well, kissing other girls, that would be a boyfriend. To get your girlfriend to pay attention to you again. I forgot I was role-playing there, and I forgot which role I was playing. Anyway, so you got to, you know, to get them paying attention to you, right? If you want the party to adjust course to correct in the direction that you want it to go, you have to show and demonstrate that you are willing to go in an opposite direction from the party when it makes a mistake. Because if you always demonstrate absolute loyalty to the party every single time, they will discount you because they don't care.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, it's, sorry, Chris, I was...
No, I just wanted, there was something... No, that my fault. I walked
no,
by
no, please,
something
go ahead.
Making noise.
Go ahead.
One of the things you said, just to tag off of it, I think was very important, was I think the problem is people don't know what they believe in. And that's why they vote the party line. Somebody tells them you need to vote this. This is what we believe in. You know, this is our party platform, and you need to give us your money and vote for these people. And I think what's happening, and I know for myself in the Bush era, especially with that Patriot Act, that was a wake-up call of all calls. It wasn't 9/11. I mean, 9/11 was terrible, but it isn't like we haven't had wars before. It isn't like we haven't had tragedies before. It was the reaction to it and what it meant to our country and our freedoms, and that really caught me off guard. And then having my son over there, you know, for two tours in Iraq, long tours, not the short ones, but the long ones, and really getting an understanding of what wasn't going on and what was going on, you know, I started asking these questions because I had to I don't think I've changed my belief structure, but I think that I was being kind of, like everybody else, a little bit told what the issue of the day was and how evil the left is and, and how it's their fault. And come to find out with some serious research that this primary, especially when I look at, you know, Obama and the fear, Obama this, Obama that, Obama this, every freaking day. And, and I'm the idiot that goes, okay, and don't we have a majority in the House? And what are they doing about it? And didn't Newt Gingrich have the exact same situation with one of the probably one of the most liberal presidents to take over with a Senate controlled by the Democrats? Newt Gingrich comes into the House and actually reforms government, and Boehner comes in the House and actually cries a lot. And so my question is, the Republicans did nothing while Obama did all these evil things. And so you want me to vote for the party of nothing and teardrops? The party of teardrops, that's what we're going to have to call it.
Yeah, well, orange teardrops, just to clarify, because that spray-on tan runs when he cries. But the question you have to ask yourself, right? I mean, and this is, look, I'm getting people telling me quite often that, look, I talk to other people, I agree with you guys, but when I talk to them, their mentality is so stuck that they just think that Romney's their only choice, okay? And the way you have to explain it to them, use an analogy. People understand things in analogy. Sometimes the truth is just difficult. Look, if you haven't been involved, you haven't seen this, and I know most of us have been doing this for a long time, so it's part of our very fiber, okay? But if it's new to you, it's a shock. You'll have a lot of trouble within your paradigm processing that the country that you think you live in is not the country in which you live, okay? You know, we have this kind of triumphalist attitude and comfort in the United States of America to think, well, all that crap that happens everywhere else in the world, it doesn't happen here. We don't have constitutions falling and we have to write a new one every 4 years. Ours has been around for more than two centuries. So, you know, we don't have a currency that needs to be changed every 3 days because it's devalued. Our currency is pretty stable. Inflation's only 3%. You know, we've got stability. We're not invaded. You know, 9/11 was bad, but, you know, compared to, like, you know, places in the Middle East or Africa, it's not that bad. So we have this triumphalist attitude that, you know, it won't happen here. The amazing thing is it's already happened. You just haven't acknowledged it. And acknowledging it will make it far too real, so you're scared. So that fear mentality, it's not so much fear of Obama or fear of Romney or whatever it is. It's really fear of admitting that you don't live in the country that you think you live in. But you have to make that acknowledgement if you're going to fix it. Because if you don't fix it, then you're only living in America as a delusion, and the country that's actually around you has become a police state. And by the time you wake up, it'll be too late. But it's not too late now. I mean, it's certainly late, but it's not too late. We can still do it, and that's what you have to do. So use an analogy to explain things to people. Generally speaking, if you subsidize something or you underwrite it or you reward it, right, don't you usually get more of it? I mean, I don't know.
Well, and Rex, you know, something else about this, which is, you know, people who, well, they're just going to vote Romney. Okay, well, they're a lost cause, so screw them, you know. And, you know, what I do, because I'm Tex, you know, it's just how I am, I'm like, well, screw you. Tell them that to their face, if I'm being nice. If I'm not being nice, I use, you know, the more powerful words. But, you know, who cares? I don't care what you do. You're one person out of 350 million. Go to hell. Go ahead and start blowing Romney. I don't care, because at the end of the day, you don't matter. Because you say you believe these things, but you don't believe them because you don't act on them. So you pretend to believe this stuff. It's like people who say, I love football. Do you play football? No, but I watch it on TV. Okay, well, you don't love football. You love watching football, right? That's what you love, you know? So forget about these people. You know, it's time for us to go out and do what we have to do to change things, to affect the change. You know what? Maybe you create something, all these other people sitting on the couch are like, hey, I believe that too. You know, and then they start supporting you. But they're not strong enough as individuals to do this stuff on their own. So you got to show them the light. And they're always, you know, like I said, someone said, oh, we old dogs, we're going to show you how it works, right? Okay, well, you old dogs, how's the country doing? Kind of sucks right now. I think we're on the cliff. So you old dogs, you don't know what the hell you're doing. You're terrible. You suck at everything. Like what you're doing with this between the elephant and the and the jackass thing that you've been doing for whatever 60 years, it stopped working because they figured it out. And they're like, oh, we'll just infiltrate both parties, and then it doesn't matter who you vote for. Okay, so that trick's gone. You got to wake up. You got to find another second party.
Yep, and that's what we're doing. We're finding another second party. So you, to understand it, you know, think of it let's use a simple example that all conservatives understand, right? The problem of illegal aliens, right? They come across the border because, well, their country is a socialist hell, so they come here, okay? And they're looking for work. They want to, you know, mow lawns or, you know, frame houses or serve McDonald's or whatever it is. They come here looking for work because our dollar, as debased as it is better than their currency. And then they realize, oh, wow, I can get my kids to go to school and it doesn't cost anything. And I can go to the hospital and it doesn't cost anything. And I got all these services and all these benefits and it doesn't cost anything. And then on top of that, wonderful people like Obama and Romney and Rick Perry actually reward it by giving us in-state tuition to go to higher education, whereby the people that live there and work there and pay taxes there, they have to pay the full freight. This is really a good deal. So the more freebies and benefits you give to the illegal aliens, you keep getting more and more of them, right? So the question you have to ask yourself is, if you stop giving away all this stuff, if they couldn't get hired because nobody would hire somebody who wasn't a citizen whom they knew, if they couldn't send their kids to school free, if they couldn't get higher education subsidized, if they couldn't go to the hospital free of charge, would you, Chris, Tex, as an illegal alien, come to a country that wouldn't give you all those things?
Rex, I just want to stand up. This is Tex. I just want to say that that's the most heartless thing that I've ever heard you say on this show. I'm disgusted. I can't believe that you don't want to give away free stuff to people who aren't citizens of this country. They're fellow human beings. And
yeah,
we owe it.
I
want to
pay more. I want to, as a hardworking, successful American, I want to pay more. I want to pay more and do more of my part. What's wrong with you?
Exactly. we owe it to them. We owe it to the entire world. This is something I raised when I was getting my master's in international relations, right? Okay. They talk about with the United Nations that there's this community of interest in the world, right? Okay, so here's the question. What is the community of interest between Mozambique and Costa Rica? What is there's a community of interest? Apparently they say
drugs.
There is, but I don't think
drugs.
There really is. And you know what?
Drugs.
What is the obligation that the United States government has to all the citizens or all the people on the planet? I don't think the United States government has an obligation to all the citizens on all the planet, or even the ones who show up here. It's like, hey, wow, you washed up on the shore. Good for you. It turns out you're a good swimmer. Anyway, you know, we're flying you back to where you came from because, you know, you don't belong here. So quit swimming.
Well, you know, one of the things, being that we kind of twisted this direction towards, you know, social services, you know, entitlements and all this kind of crap, one of the things that frustrates me is, and I don't mind helping people financially, and I've done it all my life, time and money, because that's my, you know, spiritual life, and good things have been given to me, you know, to whom much is given, much is required, blah, blah, blah. You know, and I don't mind doing that, but when I...
What chapter of the Bible is that blah, blah, blah?
That's that new one I'm working on, because I hear these new religions you make a lot of
that's
money.
First
no,
and,
anyway.
That's first and second whatevers.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, blah, 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 first, second, whatever. Okay, I got you. Back to your point, Chris.
I'm evangelical. We roll, baby. Anyway, but what happens is when somebody that is in my sphere of influence that comes to me, or I choose to go to them and say, hey, I will help you. I will, you know, help you in this situation of need. I also have influence over that person's life. When your money goes to the government and then it goes back inefficiently, this is what people don't understand, you know, like 25%, you know, they take $100 and barely $25 gets to the people who need it because the government's a bunch of bureaucratical, you know, suckerfish. But what happens is they set the rules for influencing, and unfortunately, I don't like their rules. A few years ago, if anybody, for us older people, you know, they have all these welfare complexes and all these Section 8 housing. Well, one day they got up and said, hey, let's make these people clean up the property that they live in that we pay for. And then along come the civil rights people saying, that's discrimination. And so you never create an environment for change. You never create an environment. You know, empowering people is different than paying people. You know, I mean, there's a scripture, right? You know, give a man a fish and feed him for a day, teach him how to fish and feed him for a lifetime. We wouldn't do this to our children. Well, maybe liberals do this to their children, but I never gave my children anything besides the basics. If my kid came up to me and said, Dad, I want this new bike, and I look at it and I go, wow, that's a really fancy freaking bike, and it's very expensive. So you want something better than the norm. And I would say, okay, here's what we're going to do. You're going to earn half of it doing these things outside of your normal chores. And I'm teaching responsibility to my son. It wasn't a question of whether I could afford to buy him that bike or not. It was a question of what lessons was I teaching him? Was I preparing him to be a citizen, you know, that would take care of my damn country when I get old? Because these kids today, I'm afraid when they take over and we're old, I think we're all going to have to go buy land in Costa Rica or something, because they're going to screw this country up and we ain't going to be taken care of. Look at the way we take care of our old people today. We're so busy giving money to everybody in the world that hates us that we can't even take care of our seniors. I have a full care disabled kid. You can believe the cuts in programs that are available to me, you know what I'm saying, for my son. And that's who we're supposed to, and I'm not saying take care of my son, but I'm saying, you know, we're supposed to take care of people who can't take care of themselves, not pay people to sit on their asses and watch TV with two cars in the driveway and three TVs and four computers and free cell phones and bitch about my country. There's something twisted in that concept, and that's different than that is one of the core things that's destroying this country. There's my rant.
Yeah. That's a pretty good rant. It's a pretty good rant, but I think that there's another verse in the book of whatever after the section on blah 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 that basically says that if you want to control a man, then you've got to pay and provide him all the stuff and make sure he doesn't know how to fish. And that's
that's a different book, right? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. That's in the anti-gospel. That's in the gospel according to Karl Marx. I think that's that's the point that I was making, okay? And I think we had a great discussion about that, and you guys illustrated some excellent points, that if you actually don't let people earn something, you rob them of their dignity. And
yep.
if you subsidize something, or you reward it, or you underwrite it without cost, you will always get more of it, okay? I just recently saw some bank robbers in California. They were, like, blazing through the streets trying to outrun the cops, and they couldn't get away from him, so what they did was they started throwing money out the window.
Oh,
and what
smart.
Happened? Crowds streamed into the street to pick up the money, which made it difficult for the police to keep following the bank robbers. Now, just think about that for a minute, because clearly if somebody's throwing large amounts of money out the window, that's not likely to be a credible charity, causing a public danger by throwing money into the middle of a street.
That's
so
some
you know
of that Obama
that
money, Rex.
Yeah, you know that something fishy is going on, and yet you have such low moral character that you will actually risk life and limb to run into the middle of a street in a mob, elbowing each other and gouging each other's eyes out to get the free money, which really isn't free. It's stolen, which makes you a thief. But we don't stop to think in those terms, so we just go and we run into a mob and we take the money. So anytime something has no value, has value, but no value to you because it wasn't earned, you're going to get more of it. So if you throw more money in the street, you will get more mobs in the street. And what's happening here is if you throw your vote into the ditch by giving it to Mitt Romney, you are going to get more of the very thing that he did to get there. He stole the nominees.
Yeah. You're rewarding
him. He lied. He cheated. He broke the rules. It was a bunch of insipid, power-hungry, madmen who decided we're going to make this show to give legitimacy, but behind the scenes we're going to break people's prosthetic hips. We're going to plant drugs on people and call the cops on them. We're going to do all
ammunition,
these things.
Ammunition in a suitcase.
Right, ammunition in their suitcases. We're going to go ahead and kidnap them and take them on a magical mystery tour. We're going to do all these terrible things, and you're going to sit there and go, okay, well, I'm going to reward this behavior. If you reward the Republicans and Mitt Romney by giving him your vote, even if he does not win, but he comes close. Let's just say that it's 48 Romney, 51 Obama, and only a few percentage to, quote, third parties, right? That's so close, the Republicans will chalk that up as a victory, and they'll simply just say, well, we misestimated, you know, the will of the people to displace Obama, but we'll get it in 4 years. Okay?
Well, and they'll blame the conservatives, too.
And they'll say that it was people like Tex and Rex and Chris and Robert and Sammy who peeled off 3 or 4% of that vote, and that's why we lost. So next time round, what we have to make sure is we employ the same behavior we employed this time to a greater extent.
Because it works.
And we've got to destroy these conservatives and get rid of them because they cost us the election. Now, if that's
somebody
the way...
Somebody dial in and make the case that Romney is better than McCain and more likely to win. I want to hear that case because that sounds like a tough case to make.
All right, let's throw that
one
out there.
And call in and try.
Seriously, someone get somebody. The call the number is 646-649-1013. Come make your case for Mitt Romney. I would love to hear from you. And Tex and Rex are radioactive, and we might bark, but we won't bite. Well, we might nibble a little bit. I don't know how you could make that case, but I would love to hear someone try. But the amazing thing is if you reward the Republicans for their behavior, you reward Mitt Romney for what he's done, they're going to do it to you again. If you're a conservative... If you truly are a conservative, if you truly believe in the Constitution, you truly believe in the values, morals, and principles that make us Americans, how can you reward the behavior that is exactly contrary to the country that you think you live in, to the values that you espouse? You're only going to get more of it. You're not going to get less. The way you get less of something is you make it more costly. You don't throw money at it, and you make people earn it. Now, Mitt Romney hasn't earned shit. And if you reward him, you're as much of a problem as Mitt Romney is. Barack Obama hasn't earned shit. If you reward him, you're as much of a problem as Obama. I suspect most people who are voting for Obama are doing it because they want to rape and plunder the rest of us and do it under the sanction of government. But
well,
if
that's
you're
because
a Republican,
you're evil. You're evil. You're evil. You're a
capitalist. Well, we know this. This is a radioactive and evil show, and I'm a heartless bastard. But you know, that's a given. Okay. So that being the case, then the question you have to ask yourself is, who can actually earn the right to be president fairly on their own merit by courting my vote, by telling me what he's going to do, by meaning it, and by actually standing up for these principles? That's why I supported Newt Gingrich. But he's not an option. So who can I get who's going to actually earn this presidency? Well, you've got Gary Johnson. Now, I can't say he's my favorite guy, okay? But Gary Johnson is a two-term governor, as opposed to Willard Mitt Romney, who's a one-term governor, which means Gary Johnson
was never there.
Right. Gary Johnson was actually reelected. He vetoed numerous spending bills. I'm not saying his record is stellar, but I'm comparing it to Romney and Obama. He cut spending to a degree. Some of the cutting of the spending was by government standards, which means not increasing as much, which isn't a real cut. But, hey, it's better than increasing it by umpteen amounts. So, and he's part of a party that's a legitimate party that has other candidates in positions of power. So maybe he can earn it. Maybe he can earn it. Virgil Goode is a state senator and a U.S. congressman from the Commonwealth of Virginia. I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. A Commonwealth of Virginia. And he is a gentleman. And he has served honorably, not only as a Democrat and an independent and a Republican. Oh, that means that he's wishy-washy, right? He can't make up his mind. How about he has principles, and when the party moves away from those principles, he leaves the party? Take a cue from Ronald Reagan, who was a Democrat, and the Democratic Party left him, so he went somewhere else, and Virgil Goode, who did the same thing, and leave the Republican Party, at least as far as the presidential ticket goes. and go somewhere where you're actually welcomed. Virgil Goode can earn your vote. He's going to try to make the case. The platform of the Constitution Party is excellent. Look it up. Learn about it. Learn about him. Okay? Maybe he can earn your vote. And for a lot of people, Ron Paul has earned their vote for what he did. And I would argue that a man who goes into the Republican convention with 8 to 14 delegations and isn't even heard from, however, he has a rally for his supporters that was more honest, that was more valuable, that shared
more
better
energy.
Information, had more energy, was more fervent, more passionate, and more real than the RNC convention, that tells me that the RNC just pulled a 1976 and nominated the wrong guy.
Yep.
Gerald Ford was nominated over Reagan in 76 and lost, and you just did the same thing because Ron Paul had the energy behind him and he could have won. So some people are going to reward Ron Paul for that by writing his name in. I'm not sure how tenable that is because of some of the rules, and I don't know that Ron Paul necessarily wants anybody to do that, but I won't begrudge anybody for doing what they truly desire.
Well,
but
Texas,
let's find
so
out who's going to earn her. What's that?
And I'm in Texas, so that's what I'm doing.
And Ron Paul could very well win Texas.
Yeah,
as a writer.
I know there's enough people down here in Texas that are going to do it. You know, I'd write in Newt Gingrich, but, you know, I think there's more Ron Paul people here. So if you're in Georgia or South Carolina, you know, I'd write in Gingrich. But down here in Texas, I'm writing in Ron Paul.
Well, you bring up an excellent point, Tex, because the real question is, are you right now going to vote strictly your values, strictly for the candidate that you like, or are you going to vote for the candidate who is most likely to win, who happens to be a liberty-minded constitutionalist?
Well, I'm voting for, you know, my principles down here, but also, you know, I'm voting for waking the Republican Party up because they can't keep doing this. I want the Republican Party to succeed. I've been lifelong GOP. I don't want to have to leave the party, but the party just said that they don't care about me. And to sit down and shut up and we'll tell you what to think. Oh, okay. Well, I didn't sign up for that deal, so apparently you can't hear me back here, so I'm going to make sure you hear me.
Yep. We've got a caller on the line from 903. 903, who are you and what's on your mind?
Hi, this is Mary Lewis from Texas. And,
hi, Mary.
Hey, I enjoy your show so much. I didn't think I would be able to join you, but was able to do it, so I'm glad to be here. And I mean, my feeling, I'm a Newt supporter. I was like grassroots for him, and really wanted him to win. And you know, I am so frustrated with the RNC and Romney of how they treated Ron Paul's group and how they acted at the convention. And I know I'm not alone. I know there's probably other people just like me. But, you know, basically that's why, you know, I continue to listen, I continue to read and all is because I want to stay engaged in it because I really feel like it is a very important election. And I feel like I probably will be one. I don't know yet what I'm going to do, but I probably will be one of those voters that will vote my conscience and write in someone's name or not go vote or in that, you know, scenario, just depending. I wish that someone in the third party, you know, Rex, I told you earlier today, I mean, I wish there was someone like Sarah Palin or, you know, that Ron Paul, at least Ron Paul hadn't said, don't write my name in. I mean, I feel like Newt says, I'm not your candidate anymore. I mean, like, I feel like that would be just a waste because he's supporting Romney where Ron Paul isn't, so at least
right.
I feel like if I give Ron Paul my vote, I feel like he wants it still, whereas Newt's thrown a, you know, just thrown in the towel and basically said, I don't vote for me, vote for Romney. So,
well, that's a great point, Mary, and I agree with you to an extent, but I think I have a slightly different way of looking at it. I will say that I think that it's incumbent on people who support Newt to really think writing in his name is a nice protest vote, but A, it's not going to get enough votes to win, and B, Yeah, you're right. Newt said don't do it. Now, that doesn't mean you have to do what Newt says if you want to write his name and go ahead. But I think that Newt has decided to take a step back because of the unbelievable corruption that he saw. But I think that he believes that if he plays ball, he can make some changes from the inside. I don't know if that's viable or not, and I'm not going to begrudge a man because he's always delivered before. And maybe we do need somebody on the inside pushing out as we're tackling it on the way in. But I do agree with you that Ron Paul, I think that even though he hasn't said he wants people to write him in, would take the position. Plus, there's a lot more Ron Paul people out there who have not gone Romney than, unfortunately, Newt Gingrich people. So I think that that's a smart move.
But
I wouldn't
mean,
necessarily...
I never was a Ron Paul person. I mean, like, here I am,
right.
A person. I was a new person. And so, like,
yep.
You know, I'm leaning his way because of what he stands for and the people that are supporting him and why they are and
sure.
Exposing all this corruption that's going on. I mean, I think...
Can I...
Yeah, right. Go ahead.
No. You sound like a lot of new people on my group that, you know, you're
that's
going,
Chris.
Well, that's...
A, she
yeah,
is
man.
On your group.
Yeah,
she
I
is
am
on
your
group.
Oh, I can't. That, no, I know, but that's fine. But what I'm saying is you sound similar to the new people that are on my group who go, I don't know yet, and that's why we're doing the vetting processes. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why we went through Mr. Hofling. And
but
then
it's
we
very
went,
painful,
you know,
Chris.
Gary Johnson.
It's
what?
Very painful.
Well, exactly, you think it's painful. Hey, I got no. I, you think it's painful from your end? Be the guy who has to administer that all that. No. But what I'm saying is that we're in the process of vetting Virgil Goode right now, and he is very like Newt and Ron Paul with his own little flares, you know, in between. So, you know, keep that process going before you make that decision. I'm not saying don't vote for Ron Paul. You know, I like Ron Paul. You know, but I'm also saying that, you know, this we're finding some really cool people out here and
okay,
some really great things.
Chris,
so,
the only
you know.
Thing,
yes,
the
ma'am.
Only thing I can say to that is, I mean, I haven't listened to him, and I want to listen. And in fact, isn't he going to be on Sammy's or somebody's on Monday? Somebody.
He'll be on this week. He'll be on sometime
yeah.
this week, I
yeah.
think, and we'll make an announcement when we get that ironed out.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so I look forward to listening to him. But the only thing is, he reminds me. It, when I went to his website, it kind of reminded me of Newt. I mean, I got so frustrated at Newt Gingrich's website because it was like, it wasn't user-friendly. It wasn't, I mean, some of the things were not quite right on it. And I went to Virgil's, and his is like, got this, the number one thing he wants you to click on there, you click on it, and it has a video of him talking in some...
Foreign language,
room, and it looks like some homemade
it's
video.
It's not a foreign language. It is a southern gentleman's central or deep southern Virginia accent, and it's a beautiful thing once you get used to it.
No, I like
you know,
the accent. I love how
they can make three syllables on a single syllable word. Like now, it can actually be three words almost. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, well, you're an evangelical. You should be used to that. Every time you guys pray, you say, and God said. So, you know, it's three syllables out of one syllable. It's a good thing.
I like him.
Go back and look at that
video. But don't let his website.
No, but go look at it again. This is what he wants everyone. I'm thinking of it. I'm a marketing person. So I look at it in terms of, okay, that's some of my expertise is in that area. So I go to that website. I click on what he wants us to – I'm looking at his whole thing and his whole package and what he wants you to click on to learn about him. And you click on that video, and it's a one person, someone's filming it. He's in somebody's, you know, conference room. It's, you know, the lighting's not good. The angle of it has a corner point in the, you know, right at his head. I mean, it's just –
Well, sounds like they need you to do some volunteer
I know,
work.
I know. Mary, why don't you fix it then and work on it? Look, the idea here is, number one, the Constitution Party doesn't have the same kind of Wall Street money. They don't take more than $200 from a single contributor, so they don't have a lot of funds. And remember what Newt said. And look, let's understand something. If you were a Newt person, you're still a Newt person. If you're a Ron Paul person, You're still a Ron Paul person. Whether you can vote for either one of them or not is not the point. You haven't changed. You're just your option for voting for that candidate may no longer be an issue.
Right.
But if you're a Newt person, you're still a Newt person. And Newt told us this isn't a money campaign. This is a people campaign.
People's campaign.
And maybe now it's time for us to become a people's campaign for Virgil Goode. Help him with his website. Help him with the messaging.
Yeah.
Make our own videos. That's what it's about. The idea here is to send a message that we're not going to accept what Romney did, that we want Obama gone, and that we want a real candidate. Once we find the candidate, that it's up to us to empower other people, inform them, and actually help the candidate be better.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like you've identified
some
things that could be fixed.
Yeah, we don't have it time. And if he's going to have, I mean, so it made me think of how he needs so much, I mean, grassroots effort is going to help him. And so everyone needs to kick it into gear if that's where we're going. But
We're trying.
Mm-hmm. I know you are.
We had two guys on from the Idaho, you know, the vice chair and the chair on Monday, and they're great people. We have an ongoing dialogue with them, and we're talking to them about their technologies and about, you know, other platforms and helping them get their message out. We've got the Libertarian Party. And the only difference, I do want to add this point, and I think it's important, it may not be important, but, you know, they are very, they will take no matching funds from the government, and they will do no super PACs. That's a really pure principle. And when you do that, you pay the price. Your website doesn't look very good and other things. But the Libertarian Party has three super PACs behind them and do take those influences. So, you know, just food for thought. We're learning. You know, we're trying to get a feel for both of them. I like the Libertarian Party because I like the liberty. I like the Constitution. I'm an Alaskan. Stay out of my life. It's easy for me. You know, some things we heard the other night kind of shocked me. You know,
mm-hmm.
all of us, and so we're looking at the other party now, and I'm gonna map it out and build a document and run right down the list on every different issue as we get it all put together, and we're gonna do everything in our power to get that information out to people. We're doing multiple series, you know, multiple environments where people are coming on. Virgil's coming on. We want to get the vice president on. We want to get Gary Johnson on. Mm-hmm. You know, and help these guys.
But the main thing we can do to help whoever we choose. The main thing we could do to help them would be to, because we don't have much time, would be to get them connected. They need to call into shows, the media shows, the different things where they can get more exposure quickly.
Well, the
somehow
media
we need to get
them
on Hannity. We need to get them on, you know, the different ones, and at least some, because they're conservatives. I mean, it'll be at least a conservative choice.
Well, I there's a reason that they're not on those shows, and it's not their fault.
I know.
The mainstream media doesn't want them on there.
I know,
but they can call
into those shows.
Possible. They got call screeners. You know what I learned, and this
true.
Goes back to that. This goes back to that thing I said about the Gallup poll, that article that, you know, was posted on my group. When you look at it, 48-58% of the people are in favor of a third party, but when you roll into the election time, it rolls down to that, you know, 3-4% vote for them because the major media slams them down. They don't give them a platform. They make them look goofy. You know, major radios, I used to be full-on talk radio, you know, every day, you know, as a contractor out on the road, and there's always that negative, you know, third parties don't work. You know, that's because they're all owned by the same people. They are not going to give these guys a platform. I really believe that we logged 20, 25, 30% of a registered vote, which isn't that hard to get because you already got that many that ain't going to vote at all. All we got to, you know, we've got the networks, we've got the social networks, we've got email, we've got the blog talk radio. Getting the message out, getting a clean message out, no BS, but, you know, truth, letting people make that decision, get it out there. We log a 20, 25, 30% vote into one party would be great, but we'll see.
It's got to be.
But you know
Chris,
what I'm saying?
Chris,
yeah.
It can't be more than one. All those Ron Paul people, everyone, we have to do one person. We can't do three different. We can't split off. There's no way that would win. No way. But because Ron Paul's group and all that grassroots, and even Newt people that are so frustrated because they're mad about it all. I mean, Newt said support Romney, but so many people in his group don't like Romney because of how he treated him, that they're not listening to him. You know,
well,
not,
you know what the problem with those groups are is they kick Rex, me, Robert, and Sammy off because they don't want us bringing any information about options to their group. So they've got their people isolated. So if you can get them off those groups, onto my group, we can educate them, and this thing can go viral. You get
remember something.
My, go ahead.
Right, it's Chris, let me just say, remember something. If you're out of a group or if you're still in it, either way, all those people in that group are still your friends on Facebook or Twitter or whatever it is. So what you need to do is reach out to them and let them know, hey, if Romney's the strategy, then that's fine. But wouldn't you like to know if there's an alternate that is actually more like
Amen.
What you were fighting for Newt for? And then send them to Chris's group. Chris, why don't you go ahead and give us the name of the group and how people can find it and maybe the URL if you could put it in chat.
Yeah, I'll go back in the house and do it. I'm outside right now. But it's Coalition of Freedom. And if you put that in to the search bar at the top of Facebook, you know, I'll look at you and make sure you're sane and then bring you into the group.
Well,
oh,
yeah.
Does that mean you're kicking
because
me out?
Don't want any, yeah. No, I let Rex in, you know, so that was one thing. But you know what I mean? I'm a troll-free group. It doesn't last very long. Bad people don't last very long. I try to be temperate. People getting issues. We're vetting candidates. There's a lot of emotion, but it's calmed down a little bit. A couple people had to go bye-bye. New people. We've got people from Palin, from Paul, from Johnson, from Good. We've got some Hofflein people on there. You know, like
okay,
I said,
Chris,
we allowed Rex on.
I'm giving you an assignment, Chris.
Assignment?
I'm giving you an assignment.
Sorry,
if you will send me something that is not like overpowering, but more on the, you know, matter of fact, and you want a different choice, but not so much where you like turn someone off because you're too much, then I can post it on a hundred different Tea Party groups. And I mean, I will, but I mean, I'll do it in.
Yeah, but you're the marketing person. What do you want to say?
What
do you think is, I mean,
I want it question based. I want it questions of like, are you really happy with what's going on? You know,
here's my suggestion. This is probably not the kind of thing that is going to work on radio, and we might actually lose the audience.
Yeah,
but here's my suggestion.
Yeah.
Why don't we create a thread in the group to kind of build this as a collaborative document, and then, Chris, you take the collaboration, you make the document, and then we assign everybody, and maybe we even put the links in for the various groups and have everybody go and share that information.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I'll build the. I mean, I build the docs all the time and throw information on there, and then mm-hmm. I tell people, I go, give me ideas, because, I mean, I only do this 17 hours a day for nothing, so I could use some help.
Right.
You know.
But what do you want to
do?
Is not overpower them. You just want to just get them curious enough where they'll go and click on and want to join your group and want to go there and see what's going on in that group. Is what you're trying to do. Because otherwise,
I know a perfect person to write that.
Who?
You.
Well, maybe so. I'll think about it.
At least get it started, and we'll give you our input, and then Chris can kind of distill it, and then we'll kind of go from there. And that's what it's about. It's about a people's campaign that is willing to fight for what we believe in. And let's be clear about something. The reason we were Newt Gingrich people, and let's understand something. I mean, adversity is something we're used to. We've been getting flack from everybody all year for supporting Newt Gingrich. Why do we support Newt Gingrich? We supported Newt Gingrich because he stood up for the things we believe in. And that's a very powerful thing. Now, Newt is not in a position to do that anymore. That doesn't mean that Newt has capitulated or changed or that Newt's a rhino or an NWO shill or whatever everybody wants to accuse him of. It simply means that Newt thinks that he is more effective as being inside the party than he is outside. But that doesn't mean, even though he might tell us, I would like you to support Romney, he has to say that. It doesn't mean that's what he wants us to do. Newt wants us to still be who we are and to support the ideas he supported because he did. Okay, and so by supporting these ideas, we have to find a better candidate. Now, I would argue, of the three choices, given that a write-in campaign for Ron Paul is valid, which in some states it is, but it's not likely to be everywhere, so I just don't think there's a chance for winning, but I think it's very laudable that people want to vote for him. Gary Johnson may have a better chance because he's got a bigger party with more money, but if you're a Newt person, I can tell you right now, the vetting that I've done, the candidate that lines up most almost identical, actually, with your principles and your values as a Newt supporter, is Virgil Goode.
Well, then guess what? We need to get all those Ron Paul people over there. And we can't just do it. I mean, there's not enough of Newt people. We have to have all those Ron Paul. And Ron Paul,
I agree.
Ron Paul has to get involved, and Ron Paul has to, you know, help with that. Because, I mean,
I agree.
You know,
I agree, but Mary, the way I look at things, I can't control other people's actions, so I can't control what Ron Paul's going to do, or what Gary Johnson supporters are going to do, or what Ron Paul supporters are going to do. What I can do is control what I do, and try to be persuasive. And I'm willing to abandon the candidate that I might like best for the one who has the strongest chance of winning. But since I don't have a clear indication of that right now, I'm willing to work for promoting as many of the true liberty candidates, which I think are just those three, Ron Paul, which I don't think needs any promotion because he already did that, but Gary Johnson and Virgil Goode, vet them, take a look at them, see where people are, and then, you know, try to build something. There's not a lot of time, but the fact is that, you know, we're not rewarded for our efforts. Our efforts are a reward in and of themselves. The results belong to God. So what we have to do is do the work. So if we can work to at least get the Newt people towards Virgil Goode, and then maybe down the road we decide, okay, well, the Ron Paul people won't come, so they're going to go to Gary Johnson, so maybe we should go to Gary Johnson, then that could be the next strategy. But for right now, it's unlikely that you're going to get a Newt supporter to go Libertarian. A Ron Paul supporter,
right now,
probably, but a Newt supporter,
well,
probably not. But,
you can
get them away from Romney. You can get them away from Romney.
Mm-hmm.
So let's do that. Let's work on that.
What about what Richard Gilbert, I mean, he just sent out a little post today that said that they were suing, you know, the government and all the attorneys.
Well, actually, Mary, our show last night, which is in the archives, Chris, we had about an hour and a half interview with Richard Gilbert. It's a great, great show. I recommend everybody check out our archives. It's yesterday's show, which is September 14th, and he is doing that. And I think it's a very laudable thing to get write-ins because, just so that everybody understands, by making write-ins an option on all ballots, it doesn't only help Ron Paul, although it could significantly help Ron Paul. But it helps every single candidate who is not part of the oligarchy, which is true democratic Republican processes in this country and what we're supposed to have. So it's great that he's doing that. Now, will he succeed? Will he not succeed? Will it happen in time? We don't know.
Mm-hmm,
so, again, when you're in a battle like this, you just fight on all fronts. If that happens, maybe we shift tactics. But right now what we can do, having connections with various Newt groups and Newt people,
mm-hmm.
is we can at least make the case for them to not – give up on their values and go Romney, and to look at other options and to take a close look at Virgil Goode, because he's going to be the one who's most likely to appeal to their values. Now, they're going to tell you, well, you know, but he can't win. Well, then your simple response is, Romney's not going to win, so why would you vote for a guy who's not going to win, who disagrees with you, and send a wrong message to the Republicans saying, hey, give us another Romney in 4 years. If we all vote for, even if we all vote Paul, Goode and Johnson, and none of them win, you'll at least send a message to the Republicans to say, hey, look, in 2016, don't give us another Romney. Because think about it this way. In 2016, Obama's not going to be running, and neither is Mitt Romney. So you're going to have two candidates.
Is the problem. It's like you have, you know, a relative who's a crack addict or something, and by voting for Mitt Romney, you're aiding and abetting that abuse, you know, this is text. And so you need to send a signal that they have made a mistake, because they will never correct course if we do not demonstrate to them that they have made an error. Voting for Romney, first, he's going to lose anyway. We already know this because we're looking at the polls. And every time Romney opens his mouth, he doesn't make it better. He makes it worse because he's a Joe Biden of the Republican Party. He's a gaffe a minute. You know, even this thing with what happened at the embassies in the Middle East, yes, the media is making way too much out of it. That doesn't mean that it wasn't dumb. They thought it was super smart, and I listened to that idiot Dick Morris explain on Fox News, not because I was watching it, but because I happened to see a video, that Mitt Romney's stance on Aiken is so great because all these people who were concerned about voting for Mitt Romney before, now they realize what a moderate he is, and so he won all of them, and they're all coming into his camp. Okay, well, guess what? I know a lot of moderates, right, Democrats who can't stand Obama and everything. And they're like, they hate Mitt Romney. Like, they already made that decision like 5 months ago. So this Aiken thing, it's just pissing off your base, which is what Mitt Romney does best. Pisses off the base and doesn't reach out to the moderates. You know why? Because moderates, you don't leave your family because somebody else is like, well, I seem like a nice guy. So, you know, because you got to explain to all the people why you left. You only leave if there's a compelling reason and something that you would walk through a wall for. That's what Newt Gingrich was saying. Money spent without purpose and a campaign without an argument is a waste of money. You don't win by running our guy versus their guy. You win by running our vision of the world versus their vision of the world. And Mitt Romney is not doing that. That's why he's losing and going to lose. The only thing you have to ask yourself is, are you willing to lose your own core principles and say that I went down with the ship, even though this ship represented everything that I hate, in order to pretend that I'm some kind of party loyalist? Well, why be a party loyalist if the party just said that we don't believe in you? We don't believe in the things you believe in, okay? At that point, party's kind of over, you know, until, you know, 4 more years from now or 2 years after this election, we start looking around like, hey, that was kind of some BS. You guys see that Romney crap? Whoa, who said that was a good idea? Like, everyone said Romney sucked. We all said, everybody believes it, except like John Sununu, John Boehner, and a bunch of other douchebags who run this party. Everyone said it was a terrible idea. Now, let's look at that Hindenburg. Like, oh, my God, that was a big flaming wreckage we saw there, that Romney. Holy crap. That was a lot of hydrogen that just went up. You know, I mean, you have to make a decision to send the leadership a signal that they are fucking up, basically. That's what they're doing. So you got to send them that message because they can't hear too good. Because you're too small. You're one of the small people. And you're not on the golf course.
I think every time they call you on the telephone, do what I do. I just tell them, no way, I'm not sending you any money. I don't like the way you treated everybody at the primary. No way, no way, no way. I just never even let them talk.
Absolutely.
Brooks?
Yep.
Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Chris.
Well, I'm sorry, Tex. I didn't mean to step over you. You need to finish.
No, I was just going to say the Republican Senatorial Committee or whatever, they just sent me a thing, and
I got that too.
It came from Newt,
Morning.
Right? Yeah,
yep.
And so I wrote in
John.
That, look, I would support you guys, but you guys support a bunch of rhinos, and your stupid rhinos end up turning out to be our presidential nominee. It's like Mitt Romney. I can never support a party that would support a bunch of rhinos and people who believe what Mitt Romney believes, and therefore I can't support you, but I will support the individual candidates. And until then, you all can go to hell.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Right on.
That's what I
do.
Yeah.
Can I ask something?
Enough people do that. Yeah. I think enough people have been doing that. That's why they're, like, calling so often trying
to... They're getting the message, but we need to give it to them on November 6th also. Go ahead, Chris.
Amen. Here's an important thing, and hopefully this... I know us three understand this, but to help you also, Mary, and also anybody that's listening or will listen later on a replay, you have to define what winning is. I don't look at this election as I truly hope we can pull the numbers and win with a third-party candidate. But we also know the reality and the odds of that not happening. So I have this mindset that we win in multiple ways because we're going to win for the future. If we have a miracle and we get enough people behind a specific candidate, we could potentially win. Now, if we don't win, but we log 20, 25, 28, 30% of real voters logged in any combination of third party, any combination, that number gets logged instead of those people staying home. We change the dialogue of politics in this country forever. That's a win to me. And I'm willing to play that out. Right now what we have, okay, is we have Obama or Romney or a chance to change our country. I don't know what the definition of that win is going to be. Like, is it really going to be a person or is it going to be a movement?
Right.
And that movement changes. That's why we're investigating these third parties. I learned very early when we turned the group from broker convention to a third party research group, and then we started vetting the candidates. I knew immediately I would never be able to tell everybody where they need to go, no matter how compelling of a salesman I was, because
right.
That's human nature.
Right. Yep.
But I knew that if I could refine it down and give people
you know, the options, whether it be, you know, this and this and this, or these two, and we're getting it down to two parties.
And don't
and
forget,
we
Chris,
move you, enough. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You know, I was going to say, don't forget, you can also, even if not one of them emerges, you can still send this thing into the House. You can weaken Obama.
Yes,
if, even if he's going to win, you can weaken Obama so much by sending him in there limping. If you throw your vote away and give it to Romney, he won't be weaker. Look, we don't have much time left.
Explain that concept, that brokered convention concept in the House for the electorate. Can you explain that to people?
I will absolutely do that, but let me just check to see. I got a couple of callers here. I want to give them a chance because we're almost off the air. 434, you are live. Who are you and what's on your mind?
Hi, George. I've been listening to that for a long period of time. I think some of you all know who I am. But regardless of that, I thoroughly would support anybody but Romney or Obama. And I agree with everything that you all have said. My strategy basically was outlined on you all's show yesterday. So, I mean, I'm in total agreement with it because I outlined some of the same things a couple of months ago or a month ago, whatever, with respect to the paper ballots, military vote, and some of the other stuff. I mean, because you can't hardly expect people to not have the right to vote, yet you expect them to, use their life to save yours. And your rights of freedom. I mean, it doesn't matter to me. Who gets elected, other than them? I prefer, somebody that hopefully is going to do the best for the country. And I like both candidates that you all have talked about tonight, both Virgil as well as Johnson. I think that Johnson probably might have a little more pull, but the thing is, I think the 30% thing is going to change if you start going into four people because after you divide Romney, Obama, because most the polls that you and that I tried to explain that in a Facebook post earlier today you have two choices, Romney or Obama. You don't have a third choice or fourth choice or anything. You have two choices, or you hang up. And I'm getting tired of it, man. I mean, and it's been happening for months.
Oh yeah.
And if you get a third party,
that's what they've been saying, you know, for years and years. Well, you only have these two choices, so just go for the Republican. And it works if the two parties are actually different and you can play them off each other.
Right.
The problem is the people who are, you know, the powers that be, let's say, they figure that strategy out. So, like, well, we'll just take over both parties, and then we always win. And that's what's happened now. So you're presented with no choice. There actually was a British television show very well done about government life inside the government called Yes Minister and then later Yes Prime Minister. And the Prime Minister wanted to make a decision in foreign policy, and the bureaucracy was terrified. Like, the Prime Minister, he's not supposed to decide anything. The bureaucracy tells him what to do. So the senior bureaucrat told the junior bureaucrat who had to come up with the decision, he says, really, this is ignorant. You obviously don't know how the government works. You present him with three choices, one of which involves starting World War III, so he'll never pick it, and the other two are so similar that it doesn't matter which one he chooses. Same thing with the Barack Obama versus Mitt Romney choice. It's the same choice. They've already figured this system out.
Yeah, but the only the worst the thing about it was, I mean, Obama, first of all, initially I thought, well, hey, this might be a good change for the country or whatever a long time ago, but as all of us can see, that ain't gonna work, and he about committed suicide on 9/11, and then you got somebody else that is destroying the Republicans and. Basically, Obama bailed out Bain, which Romney was the CEO of. So, I mean, where are you voting? You're voting for the same person.
That's right.
And George Soros in there, too.
Yeah. Well, George, thank you.
Very,
thank you.
sorry.
All right, Chris, go. Let me just thank George real quick. George, thank you for calling in. We're glad to have you here, and please check out the Facebook group if you're on Facebook, Coalition of Freedom. Okay,
I'm
great.
On
it's
it.
In the chat,
I'm on
too.
The group.
Oh, fantastic.
I'm on
group. We're glad to have you there. Chris, go ahead.
You know, my conversation today with our good buddy, we had a long conversation with him today, and you saw that doc on showing all the down, down
yep.
cycle?
Down
whatever.
Ballot. Down ballot. Candidate.
Down ballot, all the people in the from state to city and council. But one of the other things that we were talking about, and I didn't get the question asked last night, or whenever we did the interview with those guys, ran out of time.
Mm-hmm.
The big reason that people jumped on the Johnson bandwagon so fast was the thing Johnson keeps saying, I'm on all 50 ballots. Good right now is on 42. But what the representative told me today, he said, it ain't over yet. We're still in process on several more ballots. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, he said this thing could end up at 46, 47, 48 ballots. That's more than enough. I mean, the ballots are on right now represent almost 500 electors. So
right.
it isn't like they ain't got the numbers to win. You know, and what Rex said, you know, Rex was so key, is you got to take this to a brokered convention. We need to force these, you know, because that's what happens when nobody hits that 270 plus one. Go ahead.
That's right. Yeah, when without enough electoral votes, because it's split, and this is a good way to look at the common objection of, well, why don't we have just one third party candidate? That would be ideal, and I think that after we vet the candidates and pick one, we should work towards that end. But, you know, that's like herding cats. It's going to be tough. I know for a fact that there are some Ron Paul guys that are just going to write in Ron Paul. You're not going to dissuade them, and I'm not going to beat them up for it because that's a principled thing to do. There are some people who are definitely going to go good. Some people are definitely going to go Johnson and won't switch back and forth. We can try, but even if you don't succeed, and let's just say that you split the vote five ways, Ron Paul write in where it's available, Good, Johnson, Romney, and Obama. If they don't get enough of the electoral votes, this thing goes to the House. Now, if that happens, odds are, okay, that Obama, maybe Romney, wins, okay? But whichever one of them wins, they win with such a diminished mandate, a diminished momentum, that they go in there limping and they're weak. And that's what we need to do. Now, you don't aim for that. You aim for success. You aim for victory. Pick your candidate and fight for your candidate to win, because miracles do happen. No one thought Abraham Lincoln was going to be president. That was preposterous. If there were Gallup polls back in 1860, Lincoln would have not even gotten as much as Ross Perot got when he was running. But Lincoln won. So it can happen. So you got to fight for it. But if it doesn't happen, what you do is you send a guy in there limping from the House, and understand something. Maybe if there's a Liberty candidate and the House is deciding, some of those former or sort of Tea Party guys and gals might actually stand up. So it could happen. You never know. What you do is you always do the right thing, and you trust God.
Am I off?
No, you're still
off?
Here, George. No, you're still here. I haven't closed anybody's mics yet. I'm going to do it soon, but you're still going. You have something to say?
No, not really. I was just wondering that if, in fact, I was on yet. But I agree 100% with what you're saying. And the thing is, if you end up with four people, hey, 26%.
Mm-hmm.
If you split it out, and that makes
mm-hmm.
a lot of difference. Just like 34% on a three-person.
Right.
You know. And
it could play out many different ways. Many different ways. We have to do the right thing.
Right. So.
You remember what Richard Gilbert said when he was talking on all the interviews when he did that initial lawsuit, which has not
mm-hmm.
been lost. It just needs to be redone in the new lawsuit. But he talked about that all the time in the strategy. He said, we want them all down there. We want, you know, Palin on the floor. We want Newt on the floor. We want Paul on the
right.
floor. We want to starve the number. We want to yep. get him below 1,144. So it isn't.
Right.
You have to understand, and you know this, Rex, but we talk about this stuff all the time, but you have to understand winning strategies. Winning strategies aren't A versus B. Winning strategies have to be dynamic when you're not the front runner and you don't have
right.
all the money. And so sometimes
right.
a winning strategy is stopping somebody, not necessarily beating somebody.
you know, winning versus stopping. Because if you stop, think about the conversation in this country and on C-SPAN, because the great Newt Gingrich got C-SPAN into Congress back in his era. But think about the conversation when they have to stand in front of the American people and attempt to do what they did at the RNC convention one more time in front of the American people. You know, every move they make is getting spread virally around the country. Every time these guys do something crooked, criminal, broken leg, broken bone, lying to the people, Congress has probably, what, a 12% approval rating right now? All they got to do is stand up in front of the American people. We have to get our country back. And it ain't going to be got back if you empower the criminal and say, okay, we'll give you one more time. Beat
right.
me again. I know you really love me.
That's right.
That's really important.
Okay. I'm getting ready to mute the mics because we're running out of show.
Great
but,
show.
I'm going to go ahead. Thanks, Chris.
I'll
let you all sound off real quick. You get 20 seconds each.
Okay.
First, I want to start with Kim. Kim, 602, go ahead.
Well, hello, guys.
Hi, Kim.
Hi, Kim.
Hi.
Hi, Kim.
I was just going to just say that when you guys were talking about, you know, trying to get on the other groups, but they delete you, you know, all the stuff.
Okay.
But from what I'm seeing is on the other groups is that they're wishing Newt was the nominee because what he said about what's happening in the Middle East.
Yeah,
they'd love him to be it, but you know.
Wishing you're going to make it so.
Right, and then I'm like, told you so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, but we have ballots being mailed to us, you know, before November comes or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So on our ballots, we can write in whomever.
That's right.
So that's a good thing.
Yep.
Yep.
That's a wonderful thing.
That's
democracy. That
needs to be in every state.
because I don't like the voting machines, you know, because if
I
you
agree.
Write it in and because they do the arrows, you know, where you have to write it in and whatnot and connect the damn arrows. But anyway, that's a lot better. Because then there's no cheating.
That's right.
Right.
And we're going to talk about that in earnest next week also on our Friday show. That's going to be our goal. But, Kim, thank you so much for calling in. I'm going to, if you're wrapped up, I'm going to mute your mic and start muting the mics down to wrap up the show.
I have a mute button,
go ahead. Then go ahead.
I'll mute myself.
Great.
Right.
George, you go. You got yourself 20 seconds. Go.
Okay. Now, all I wanted to say is I had a talk with my mom a while ago that really surprised me that the FAA or the bigwigs at some airline up in Washington, and that was up near Chris's area, I guess, or whatever, were called in. It was on CNN. I don't know if you saw it or not, where they basically told them, if you don't vote for I think you have to vote Democrat or you'd be fired or something like that, which really shocked me. Now, because my mom's not into politics at all, you know, and it really, I mean, I was like, man, where are we at?
That's
Cuba?
That's illegal.
Yeah, it's illegal, and that's what they're resorting to because they're bullies. Look, they bullied their way into the nomination. They're going to bully their way into votes. It's ridiculous. It's disgusting.
Yeah, totally.
All right, well, George, thank you for calling in. Thank you for sharing that. We're down to the last minute and a half, so I'm going to let Mary have her last say. Thanks, George.
I was just going to say thanks. I enjoyed the show, and the only thing that we didn't cover that I kind of would like to research a little more is, I mean, I think it's really important that our veterans get to vote, and I'm feeling like they're going to be left out of the voting process and, you know, wish there was some way that could be helped, too, because, you know...
Well, next week we're going to try and talk about, you know, the voting machines and veterans' votings and all that kind of stuff and kind of, like, you know, wake people up. So maybe you can remind me that's what I said I was going to do because, you know, we have no rules on this show.
Okay, all right.
Except the fact that Blog Talk Radio has some rules. Thanks for calling in, Mary. Chris, you want to sound off before we wrap up?
No, I'm good, man. Do your thing. I've said my piece.
All right. Thank you, sir. Well, folks, we got 30 seconds, so not much time, but the important thing to keep in mind here is that you're supposed to do the right thing. You're an American. Stand up. Be counted. Vote your conscience. If we can get one candidate we can all get behind, we'll do that. Okay. If not, we're going to at least dilute the votes to the point where whoever wins of the oligarchy goes in there limping. But we're going to take a look at Johnson. We're going to take a look at Goode. We're going to take a look at writing in Ron Paul. And please tune in to Texan Rex every Friday and Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern live, and check us out in archive. This is Texan Rex signing off.
The flames of liberty will never die. Till next time.